shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the program. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. Yes, 55, your lucky number. Well, it's my lucky number anyway, because I love being here with you for this almost 1 hour once a week. And we have a fun show today, and I'm not going to tell you right away what it's all about, but there will be clues periodically until we actually get to that point. I just want to tell you first about our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And as you know, we have polls on the program. We had a poll running for a while, which was actually which Happy Station Show interview would you like to hear again? The results are in, and we'll be announcing that very soon. The new poll is a fun one, actually, and I want to see how many people actually respond to it. It is, do you think DRM will survive? That is, do you think DRM will survive? What is DRM for those who don't know? That's Digital Radio Mondiale, which has actually been around for a number of years, and it's sort of had its ups and downs. And apparently, there are some more ups that are going to be happening in the future. So go to www.pcjmedia.com and cast your vote. Also, at the same time, you can catch all the past editions of The Happy Station Show, as well as the other programs from PCJ Media. And while you're on the website, on the right of the menu, you're going to see a link that says Radio Archives. This is a new feature, actually, that we have on our website, featuring some rare and very strange radio broadcasts from many years ago, and including some recent ones. So do go check it out. At the moment, actually, we have the final broadcast from Radio Berlin International from the former German Democratic Republic. We have the 1937 Hindenburg crash, a broadcast from Radio Pyongyang, and much, much more. So do check it out, www.pcjmedia.com. All right. Time for music. We're going to begin right away with the House Martins, and I just knocked something over. The House Martins from the LP, The People Who Grin Themselves to Death with Bow Down, here on the International Happy Station.
So tall, and it makes me feel so small that I might get
hands were so weak, and I couldn't move his mouth to speak.
House Martins and Bow Down. Now, as you may or may not know, Media Network, which is a program that aired for many years on Radio Netherlands, is now part of PCJ, titled Vintage Media Network with Jonathan Marks. We have access to the Jonathan Marks archives of the programs, and they're absolutely fantastic. Well, a number of people have been asking, since September the 4th, when we started airing the first one, if we were going to do any new Media Network programs. Well, I mean, that would be a little bit difficult to do it as a weekly feature. But beginning October the 23rd, at 100 hours UTC, the first edition of Media Network Plus will air right here on PCJ Radio to listeners in North America on 9,955 kilohertz. So once again, the first monthly installment of Media Network Plus to air October 23rd at 100 hours UTC to listeners in North America, the Caribbean, will air on 9,955 kilohertz. Program hosts will be Paulette Macquarie and myself, and the first show is planned to be very interesting. You can find out more details very soon at our website, which I gave out earlier, but I'll wait towards the end of the show to give it out again. Okay, now, as you know, from time to time, we like to play a little bit of comedy on the program. We have a couple of comedy pieces coming up, and this one first is comedy, but it's on a serious issue. As you may know, there was a big environmental conference that was held in Denmark, Copenhagen. And it was a bit of a disaster because nobody could agree on anything. And at the end of it, the delegates were saying, oh, it was successful, but the reality was it wasn't. And it got me thinking, you know, how would you cover this story if you were, say, somebody else? Let's say you were not part of a news organization. And I came across something that I thought was very, very funny. Now, how many of you have heard of Dr. Seuss? You know, Dr. Seuss, the cat in the hat. Yes, the cat in the hat. That is a clue, by the way. If I say it again, I will. The cat in the hat, right? One of his famous books. Another book is If I Ran the Zoo, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, many, many others. Now, imagine what Dr. Seuss would do if he had to write a book about the Copenhagen Environmental Conference. Well, if he did, it might sound something like this.
The delegates came and the delegates sat and they talked till their bums all went flat. Then a delegate said of the country he knew,
"We must do something quick, but just what should we do?"
So they sat again, thinking, and there they stayed seated, sitting and thinking, "The planet's been heated."
"I think,"
said a delegate there from Peru,
"that we all must agree on some things we could do, like reducing emissions, at least CO2.
So they nodded and noted, then vetoed and voted, and one of them stood up and suddenly quoted,
"It's the science, you see, that's the thing that must guide us. When the leaders all get here, they're certain to chide us."
So they sat again thinking about what to think, then decided to ponder what colour of ink to use on the paper when they'd all agreed to be selfless, not greedy, McGreedy, McGreed.
"But how do we choose just what colour to use?"
said a delegate there who'd been having a snooze.
"We need clear binding targets, definitive action. We must all agree clearly without more distraction."
So they sat again thinking of targets for ink, but the ink in their thinking had started to stink, and they started to think that the ink was a kink in the thinking about real things they should think.
"If the climate needs mending, then this is our chance,"
said the nuclear delegate sent there by France.
"We need to agree on one thing to agree on, something we all want a fixed guarantee on."
"Yes,"
said another who thought this made sense.
"Some value for carbon in dollars or pence."
But the mention of money and thoughts of expense had stifled the progress and things became tense. The fellow from China, with a smile on his face, said, "Who put the carbon there in the first place?"
"Wasn't us,"
said the US. Then Europe did too. Then a silence descended and no words were spoken till a delegate stood up, voice nervous and broken. "Is there nothing upon which we all can decide? 'Cause on Wednesday my chicken laid eggs that were fried."
"We all like a sing-song,"
said the bloke from down under. But then the great hall was all shouting and thunder. Policemen had entered and were wearing protesters who they'd beaten and flattened like blooded sou'westers. The police had decided to downplay this crime with prevention, detention and beatings in rhyme. The greenies who'd shouted and asked for decision were now being battered with lethal precision. All sick of inaction and fed up of waiting, all tired of the endless debated placating, they'd risen up grating, berating and hating, so the police had commenced the related abating. Ban Ki-moon put his head in another man's lap and was last heard muttering something like, "Crap." But the chap next to him said,
"It's more like it's poo."
So the Great Hall debated not what they should do, but how to decide between crap, cack and poo.
"It is poo."
"It is cack."
"It is crap."
"We agree."
Which was written and labelled as Document 3.
"I think if we all find one thing we agree on, then maybe Brazil might be left with a tree on."
So they sat again, thinking of trees in Brazil and of glaciers which had retreated uphill, and they thought of the poor folks whose homes were in flood, but less of the protesters covered in blood. They pondered the species so nearly extinct, it's as if they all thought that these things might be linked.
"We need a solution. We need action, please,"
said a lady who'd come from the sinking Maldives. The others all nodded and said it was fact that the time must be now not to talk but to act. Then Obama arrived and said, most rhetorical,
"Action is action and not metaphorical."
Wow, they all thought. He must mean allegorical.
I love it when Barrett goes all oratorical.
But the problem I have is that Congress won't pass it.
Bugger, said Banky, then sorry, then arse it. Then Brown said,
"I've got it. Now how does this strike you? It's simpler when voters already dislike you."
He suggested the EU should lead from the front, so the Mail and the Telegraph called him something very unpleasant indeed. So the delegate stared at the text with red marks on, ignoring the gales of laughter from Clarkson. No one was satisfied, nobody won, except the morons convinced it was really the sun, and they blew it and wasted the greatest of chances. Instead, they all frolicked in diplomat dances and decided decisively right there and then that the best way to solve it is to meet up again and decide on a future that's greener and greater, not with action right now, but with something else later.
And yes, if Dr. Seuss was to report on the environment conference, that's how it may sound. Actually, it sounds much better than the original conference. Anyway, if you would like to get in touch with us, our email address is very simple. It's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry. Just go to our website. You'll find the link there that says email Keith. And you can get in touch with me that way. I want to say hello to a couple of new listeners. Lister. I think we have a lister coming up later on the show. Or is that a blister? I'm not sure. But anyway, I want to say hello to Jennifer Chung in Singapore. And also to Dean Abdullah, who lives in Egypt, Scott Lyle in the United Kingdom, and Phoebe Storm all the way in Australia. So hello to each one of you. And they also joined the PCJ Facebook page, which is very easy to do. Just look for PCJ Media in Facebook and join the group. And don't be afraid to add me as one of your friends. I don't bite. Well, unless you really want me to, you know. As somebody told me one time, they said, you know, don't do what I wouldn't want to do, especially if I didn't want to read it in the papers. Huh? I think I got it mangled up. I'll try to remember what it was, verbatim, after we take a listen to this, which is another clue, by the way, of our subject today. Not too long ago, somebody asked me, can I talk or mention on the program what are some of my favorite television shows? Well, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I'm a television junkie. But one of my favorite shows of all time is a British sitcom that was on the air for many, many years called Are You Being Served? And many of our listeners, of course, in the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, Canada, and other places will, of course, remember the program. It had such characters like Mr. Humphreys. You know, he used to always go, I'm free! And there was Captain Peacock, Miss Brahms, Mr. Rumbold. And one character that was probably, well, the most, of all the characters on the show, she was probably the favorite. Well, she was definitely my favorite. The actress who portrayed her was Molly Sugden. The character was Mrs. Slocum. And there was a little catchphrase that became synonymous with the show of something that Mrs. Slocum would constantly say. And somebody said, why don't we do a compilation of that slogan made famous by Mrs. Slocum having to do with cats? Well, another word for cat. So let's take a listen to it now.
And what it's doing to my domestic arrangements. Having a bath at 6 o'clock in the morning played havoc with my pussy. And he sleeps in the airing cupboard. And the gurgling of the tank woke him up.
Mrs. Slocum, Mr. Rumbold would like to know why you're late.
Well, the central heating broke down. I had to light the oven and hold my pussy in front of it. Well, if I'm to spend an evening in this club, there'll have to be accommodation for my pussy. Mr. Humphreys, leave my pussy alone. Well, if I'm not home on the stroke of six, my pussy goes mad. It's very short notice. There's my pussy to consider. Because I've left Winston clinging to the curtain rail. He refuses to come down. The mere sight of my pussy drives him mad. Personally, I never have any trouble in getting up in the morning. My pussy's just like an alarm clock. Every morning at 6:15, it drops its clockwork mouse on me pillow and it rolls me over. Not until I've wound it up and had a game under the...
Well, I hope it's not going to take long. If I'm not home on the stroke of seven, my pussy starts clawing at my visage.
The last time I was late, a fireman had to climb out of my bedroom window and risk his life on a narrow ledge trying to grab hold of my pussy. Look, it's a diamante collar for me pussy. Well, you know how clumsy those removal men are. I'm not having a mangling my pussy.
You, Mrs. Slocum?
Well, I just do simple cooking to my own taste. But you'll never see a dirty plate in my kitchen. And if there are any leftovers, my pussy gobbles them up in a flight. On the mantelpiece in my parlour, I've got a whole row of silver cups.
Oh, and what are they for?
Well, they're for my pussy. Do you know? It wins a prize every time I show. Hello? Ooh, Peter. I'm trying to get my pussy on the boat.
Yes, the incredible actress Molly Sugden talking about her pussy, cat, a compilation of clips from Are You Being Served? And that goes out to all the other Are You Being Served fans out there. And I know that I just remembered that I did talk about it a while ago, and a number of you called in saying I should play some of the cast recordings that the cast members of the show did. We did play one not long ago on our tribute to novelty songs, and it was by John Inman, who played Mr. Humphreys. And the song was We're all fond of Captain Ginger. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, that was another sort of clue about today's subject. Now, as you know, I volunteer for an animal welfare organization here in Taiwan called Animals Taiwan that we've featured. And we've also talked about some amazing animals around the world, including Faith Dog, the bipedal dog from the United States, and many, many others. Well, not too long ago, Norma Palin, who was a guest on this show not too long ago, turned me on to another well-known animal. This time it's a cat. And of course, as you know, I've been dropping cat hits and pussy hits, hints. Oy vey. Cat and pussy hints during the beginning of today's program. So that, of course, was the clue. It is about cats. Anyway, she put me onto a website called Henry's World. And if you go to the website, which is www.henrysworld.org, the first thing you will see, except besides the name, is Through the Voices of Innocent Animals, Henry and Dolly, who happens to be a dog, invite people to turn obstacles into opportunities, and in the process to develop an emotional vocabulary for improved health. Needless to say, I was absolutely fascinated by it, so I decided to contact Kathy Conheim, who is the, you can say, the voice of Henry. Kathy, thank you very much for joining us here on the Happy Station. Now, there's a website out there called Henry's World. Now, if nobody knows what Henry's World is, what, if somebody says, Kathy, tell me, what is Henry's World? What would you say?
Henry's World is a magical kingdom where all things are possible. Henry's a rescued three-legged cat who, through the innocent voices of animals, invites human beings all over the world to try to turn obstacles into opportunities and to attempt to give them an emotional vocabulary that promotes health and healing. And in that world, he has many adventures, many friends from all over the world and the globe, but he has certain things he wants to teach in what he calls his kibble for thought. And he also wants to extend his remaining front paw to help animals and children in need who were less fortunate than he was.
So how did you create Henry's World?
Well, I'm not sure I created it. In 2003, we had the worst fires in California's history in Southern California, where I live. And we have a second home up in Julian, which is the mountains east of San Diego. And in a mile, there were only 5 houses that were left standing, and ours was one of them, which was not particularly fair because it was a second home, but we felt it was safe for a reason. So we housed over 20 people for the next 2 years who had no homes. And the last couple who came, it was a Hispanic couple, and they had a little girl who loved animals and wanted to know if she could have a cat. And I grew up hating cats. My mother was partially paralyzed from polio and liked birds, and all I heard was that cats kill birds, and my mother likes birds, so I just never thought of myself as prejudiced. I just thought of myself as a dog person, dog only. But it's 4 acres, so we thought, okay, a cat, what, fine. Well, I didn't know that feral cats don't come in onesies. So Kitty, 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 and Kitty arrived. 4 feral kittens arrived on the property. And the next week, when we came, there were only 3. And I asked the little girl, where was the 4th one? And she said, I think he hurt his paw. So we went searching for the kitty who hurt his paw, and indeed it was dangling from his shoulder. He was not in pain because the nerve was cut, and we rushed him to the vet, whether I liked cats or not. I love animals. So the vet said, the good news is he's a very strong 4-month-old little kitty, but the bad news is he can't be an outdoor cat, and he'll need about a $3,000 amputation. Well, then was the question of what do we do with a cat? I don't like cats. He doesn't belong to anybody. So we were going to put him to sleep because he would have died without an amputation. And I couldn't bring myself to go say do it. And he just kept looking at me on my lap, staring at me, a very unusual thing for a feral cat, and just kept staring like, you aren't going to do this, are you? So we decided to keep him for 2 weeks and nurse him back to health, because one of his moms is a retired surgeon. And then he just stayed here. I wrote a letter the next day telling from him, saying what a strange world it was to end up in a place where everything that was interesting had the word no associated with it. He used to run and climb trees and chase leaves, and he was in an indoor place called a home, and everything that he wanted to go bang with, was he was told he was a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote to 20 people, and they sent it to 20 people, and as of today, 5.5 years later, I've answered well over 50,000 letters for this three-legged cat, and it's turned into a national healing project.
Huh.
And I don't have any idea who writes him, animals, people from all over the world.
Were you surprised when this started happening?
I was surprised that I had a cat. that was the first thing that took me a while. And I tried to make him into a dog because it's the only thing I knew. I was, you know, 60 years old and I only knew about dogs. So I made a little pen and a little tent and what I wanted him to mind and come and sit and do all the things that dogs do. And he wasn't at all interested in that. So the first 6 months of his life was my battle to come to understand that cats were not dogs, and that I would have to adjust to his being who he was. And at one point, we gave him the name Henry, and then he wanted initials because his parents had initials, and he tried Henry Esquire and Henry this and that. And finally, he became totally exasperated, and he said, I'm just me. So he has become Henry J.M. from then on, Henry Just Me.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he's taught us a lot about tolerance and that hate is learned, and you can only hate what you don't understand. I never really had a cat or had anything to do with a cat, but it didn't stop me from knowing I didn't like cats because it's what I was taught. And I think that's really the root of all prejudice. So, yes, I'm surprised to have a cat. I'm even more surprised that it's turned into a national movement with hundreds of thousands of letters and millions of people that know about Henry. And I think, how did all this happen? It was just a three-legged cat that landed in my backyard.
But you have the cat, but do you have other animals as well? And, I mean, how do they get along?
Well, we had a black poodle, and her name is Dolly. And Dolly is a very athletic dog who loved to play, and I thought she'd kill the cat because she hates cats. But when Henry arrived with his bandages, he was just a kitten, and he must have smelled wounded, so she was protective of him in the first few months after his amputation. And then she got a little pushed out of shape after he got a name, thinking maybe he's not going home, wherever his home was.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a peaceful coexistence. I think that Dolly would rather he not be there, and Henry would rather that Dolly adore him and let him cuddle the way she used to. But they live and let live, and they get along, and they'll be in the same space. But Dolly's very possessive. She's gotten much more needy in her old age as Henry has come in. And Henry got himself a wonderful girlfriend who's a little two-legged dachshund named Tink. And so Henry and Tink are a handful, five paws altogether, and Dolly just ends up being herself, which is a very playful, wonderful black poodle.
You work as a therapist. Do you think...
No, don't tell anybody. Other people don't know that. That's what I've done for... I used to be a sensible mental health professional until Henry came into my life.
Right. But do you think that because you that's what you did and you had that training, that this has helped you in many ways and has actually made you be able to, you know, without thinking about it, you know, start this movement?
Well, I think in my life I've always seen myself as a change agent and a healer and a catalyst. I didn't know that the cat a list was going to be part of it. But I think that what I have learned in the 5 years of being the voice of Henry is that Henry works on a profound heart level. You know, as a mental health professional, I have to go by medical standards and I charge money and I have a diagnosis. Henry is just an innocent. He reaches back to people who reach to him. He writes back from the heart. He is just a true friend. And in that way, I've learned that I can accomplish some things that as a, quote, mental health professional, I couldn't get away with. And in my world, I know what certain colloquialisms mean and certain things come to mean. But in Henry's world, he doesn't know any of that. So he can ask questions and be direct in an innocent way, much like a child, in ways that I could not do as easily.
Do you also think that maybe, let's say, when if you're communicating as Henry to somebody, and if you're communicating, let's say, as Kathy to somebody, that if you do it as Henry, people tend to be a little bit more at ease?
I think Henry opens a world of heart-to-heart communication. And what I found for me is I'm the voice of Henry, is I'm far more tolerant. I have lots of beliefs about politics and this and that. But when Henry speaks, Henry belongs to no world. He belongs to everybody. He's not Democrat. He's not Republican. He's not Asian. He's not white. He's not black. He's not Hispanic. He's not gay. He's not straight. He's just an outdoor feral cat whose origins nobody really knows. And as such, I think he's become a very, very powerful resting place in a world that seems quite divided by what god you worship and what color you are and what economics you have. He just is just me. And I think partly he works because he doesn't belong to any group. And even if you hate cats, he had to win over two people who hated cats too. He just assumes that if he reaches out his paw out of trust and good heart, that that's what will be reached back. And it works. It works in that way.
The books that you have, which people can buy from the website, which I'll give out the URL at the end of the interview, the money that you make from the books, where does it go to?
Well, it originally went all to animals. What I want to create is a medium by which anybody in the whole world can buy Henry and Dolly's materials at our printing costs, not our actual costs, because I work for nothing, and the people that we hire, we pay apart from printing costs. So there's a $10 to $12 margin on each book that's profit. And my vision with Henry was that any animal group, or kids, it turns out too, because now we're helping kids organizations, who want to sell any of his materials can buy them at printing costs and keep all the profits in their country, in their city, in their state, wherever they are, keep it locally for whatever their cause, as long as it helps animals or children that are less fortunate. Henry's happy to sell all his materials just at cost to anybody in the whole world. And he's not into checking and accounting and proving that you did it. If you say you want 100 books and you're going to help an animal organization, he'll sell them at his cost, and you sell them for whatever the retail is, and keep the money locally to help whatever your favorite cause is.
Now, with Dolly, Henry, and Tink, do you ever go and visit these children and animal shelters in different parts of the United States?
We have. Henry, as a cat, doesn't travel well. So the times I've brought him somewhere, he sort of stands like a statue and shakes. Tink, however, is a showstopper, since most people have never seen a two-legged dog. Tink is just irresistible. She's 5.5 pounds of irrepressible energy. Recently, I went up to Sacramento, California, and there were 1,000 children there for whom Henry is their hero. And they had been doing amazing artwork, which people can see on the website. And they asked if Henry and I would come and do four school assemblies for these 1,000 children. Well, I explained that Henry didn't travel very well, but we decided to take his girlfriend Tink and not tell the children until after the assembly, and then Tink would roll out. She now has little wheels, which is an amazing story in of itself. So we brought Tink with us, and she was behind the curtain, and we did the whole assembly on teaching kids that mistakes are learning opportunities, and it's only failure if you quit. And then I told him that Henry told me to send them a gift, and out rolls Tink. Well, you would have thought, after the kids watched this movie on Tink and all the braces that were made for her, that Michael Jackson had come out. 1,000 children wanted to touch Tink. Tink became this remarkable teaching lesson because the orthotists who had helped her volunteered their time to figure out how to make front wheels for this two-legged dog that was born without her front paws. took 11 iterations to make the brace that finally worked. So Pink becomes the teacher that mistakes are our learning opportunities. Every time one of the braces didn't fit right, the orthotist learned a little better how to make the brace to support the back of a dachshund.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's got these pink wheels that she just rolls around and chases her boyfriend everywhere. She's a force to be reckoned with. You watch her little tail twitching from behind, and there she goes off on her wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's really important about what these animals teach is they don't get why everybody pays attention to what's not there. They just go on living. So somebody says, oh, a two-legged dog, or oh, a three-legged cat, and Henry and Pink go, oh, what fun, let's go play. They don't pay attention to what's missing. They pay attention to what they have and what they can do. And I think that's one of the lessons for humans also.
Well, you know,
deal with what you have.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I'm always amazed about, because many of my listeners know I volunteer for an organization here in Taiwan called Animals Taiwan. There's a lot of dogs that some of them have one limb missing, some of them have two, and some of them have a paw missing, they have an ear missing, and you get two types of people. You get the kind of person that goes, oh, the poor little dog, and they're afraid to take him for a walk the poor little thing, he has only three legs, blah blah blah. And then you have others who come along and go, he's just a dog, he just happens to have three legs, he's just living his life the way he wants to, let him have fun and go out and do it.
Well, I think that's what Tink and Henry show people, that they are the furthest thing from poor thing that you can imagine. I mean, Henry can leap 6 feet straight in the air and land on your head, and little Tink can just run the legs off Dolly and Henry with her two little wheels. I think what's unique about animals is that they don't sit and reflect on what's missing. That's a human characteristic. What they have to teach us is play the hand that you're dealt and play it well and play it to your advantage. If you have two paws, then learn how to get around on two paws. If you have three paws, whatever it is you've been endowed with, use that and be the best that you can be. And that's why Henry's initials, JM, are just me. He invites all of us, all humans, to be the best person we can be, to use the assets we've been given to turn our obstacles into opportunities, and to make life work,
mm-hmm.
and not to keep looking in your rearview mirror as to what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a human attribute. That's not an animal. The day he woke up with three paws, he immediately started to get around on three paws.
Kathy, thank you very much. If you want more information, you can find a link for Henry's World at our website, which I will give later on in the program. Kathy, thanks again.
Thank you.
What's new, pussycat? What's new, pussycat? Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. Sweet little pussycat. What's new, pussycat? What's new, pussycat? Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, you're delicious. And if my wishes can all come true, I'll soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat lips.
You and your pussycat eyes. You and your pussycat nose.
Steve Lawrence and What's New Pussycat. And if you want more information about Henry's World, check out the website www.henrysworld.org. And if you didn't have time to write that down, our own website is www.pcjmedia.com. Click on this show, the date, the most recent show, and we will have a link to Henry's World there as well. All right. Now, as you know, we don't play commercials on the show, but every now and again, it would be nice to have a commercial break. Yes, give me a chance to step away and get myself another cup of coffee because I just finished the one. Oh, no, I still have a little bit inside. Yes, drinking it black today. It's a bit strong. But I still need to step away for a moment. So I thought we'd have a bit of a commercial that will last approximately 2.5 minutes. Well, it is a commercial and it isn't a commercial. It's four songs from four very well-known commercials. The commercials are Parliament Cigarettes, Maxwell House Coffee, Betty Crocker, and Kent Cigarettes. This is from an album that was put out many, many years ago. Lester Lannan and his orchestra, called the Madison Square Beat, here on the International Happy Station. Lester Lannan and his orchestra with four songs from commercials: Parliament Cigarettes, Maxwell House, Betty Crocker, and Kent Cigarettes. Back in the days when you can actually dance to television commercials and watch those annoying little cartoons that would go with it. This is from an album called The Madison Avenue Beat, and it includes 58 very well-known radio and television commercials. Actually, we're going to be putting together a special program about Lester Lannan. He was very eccentric and was the number one dance band for the crème de la crème of the Madison Avenue group in New York City. So anybody who was anybody had Lester Lannan play at their affair. He even played for a number of presidents during his career. You're listening to the International Happy Station, and not too long ago, if I can dig up the name, here it is. Jackie listens to us in Pretoria in South Africa. She says, I've heard you play some music from your part of the world occasionally on the show, but she says occasionally in quotations, meaning I don't play enough. So can we play a little bit more? Well, Jackie, we have something for you right now. We're going to take a listen to the new single from a well-known singer here in Taiwan. Her name is Tanya, and the song translated from Chinese to English is called Only Love, here on the International Happy Station. With her new single, Only Love, here on the program, going out to Jackie in South Africa. Anyway, with that, we've almost come to the end of this edition of the program. Once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And I want to remind you once again about the special program coming up on October 23rd at 100 hours UTC. For listeners in the Caribbean, North America, and Latin America. And that is the first edition of Media Network Plus. Media Network Plus, the very first edition, which will act as a supplement to the vintage Media Network programs that we have at PCJ Radio. Before we go, I do want to tell you a little bit about our own schedule. PCJ Radio airs Saturday and Sundays at the following times. First, let's begin with Saturday. At 7 hours UTC, you can catch Finally Fridays. At 8 hours UTC, Network Europe Week from Radio Netherlands. At 8:30 UTC, Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti, getting tongue-twisted. That's me. I'm the one getting tongue-twisted. Then at 9 hours UTC, Nash Holos. That schedule is repeated at 16 hours UTC. On Sunday at 7 hours UTC, we have first the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. At 8 hours UTC, Arts on the Air with Radio, or rather from Radio Deutsche Welle. At 8:30 UTC, Vintage Media Network with Jonathan Marks. And then at 9 hours UTC, the International Happy Station Show. All the programs that I just mentioned are repeated Sunday at 16 hours UTC. Now, how do you tune in? Well, there's actually a number of ways to tune in. Because this schedule that I just mentioned is actually aired on a number of radio stations that pick up the feeds at those times. But off the top of my head, I can't remember them. But in case you are out of those target areas, you can also log in directly to the audio feeds by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com. On the right part of the menu, you will see the words PCJ on air at 7 hours UTC, 16 hours UTC, Saturdays and Sundays. There's a little picture of a radio, then underneath it, Listen Now. All you need to do is click on Listen Now, and that's it. At the same time, don't be afraid to join the Happy Station Show Friendship Sponsorship Program. Yes, you can donate any amount. You have three choices. Silver, $1, gold, $5, and platinum, which is $10. And if you do, I should mention that you will be have special access to some of the special items that we'll have in the PCJ shop very, very soon. Actually, if you go right now to the PCJ shop, you will see a Wi-Fi radio, which we are launching very, very soon. The price will be $89, including postage. That's right, the postage and everything, $89, this wonderful Wi-Fi radio, and you can see pictures of it at the website. If you want more information, contact me and I will send it to you. And even though we're not officially selling it yet at that price, if you do want to get one before everybody else does, just let me know and I will tell you all the details you need to know to make payment and get me your address and everything else. All right. That's it. That's all we have time for. It's amazing how time flies when you are having fun. Next week on the program, we are going to play a lot of music. And that's only because we've had a number of requests that have come in that we haven't been able to get to because we've had a number of topical shows the past few weeks. But next week is an all-request edition of Happy Station, so tune in to hear a bit of classical, a bit of jazz, a bit of rock and roll, all kinds of things all mishmashed together. Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, on behalf of our technical wizard, Kevin Lee, our production assistant, Johan Backer, this is Keith Perron, all the way in very wet and rainy Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.